Redbox competes with Netflix. Scratching is normal. Adaptive Lightning, PDF Pen for the iPhone, the new Skitch, YouTube on Apple TV, Litro in retail, and the Nexus 7 in Japan. It is Wednesday, September 26, 2012, and this is iWeek. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. It is another exciting day in the just world to wake up and enjoy life, I guess. Today's show has a lot of just diverse news, I'd say, starting off with Redbox. Redbox is getting into kind of the Netflix game of video on demand, combining with disc rentals and things like that. So from the Engadget, customers will get a monthly subscription and an allotment of disc rentals from Redbox kiosks, as well as access to video on demand rentals and downloadable purchases through the service. The alpha test is currently in the hands of about 500 Verizon employees, with plans for a short public test before launching in late November, mid-December timeframe. The main question, though, is how much will it cost? So that's what's coming out. And this is really intriguing to me because, for me, the blockbuster model far surpassed anything that Netflix could provide. You know, as far as shipping a disc to you and getting it back. Because they had the ability of having the stores to enable all of that great functionality there of just going in the store and picking out a disc. Now, Redbox kind of killed Blockbuster, and now what they're doing is they're going to be attacking both the Blockbuster model alongside with Netflix's video on demand. And this seems really intriguing, and I'm curious to see how well they'll do, what kind of pricing they'll have for basically a subscription to movies each month. This could be a great option for many people out there. I myself am an iTunes guy, so I won't be probably using this much, as I don't even use discs anymore. But anyways, it is interesting to say at least. Before moving on, I just want to mention that this is a great week for iTunes users. We now have one of my favorite films of the summer, Rock of Ages extended release. This is in iTunes for $20 HD, $15 SD. The extras, I did download this. Extras are fantastic. The iTunes extras are well done. Lots of content there. It's not a disappointment at all. The movie itself, I thoroughly enjoyed. I watched it several times in theaters. I'm glad to see it out. Also, Avengers is now out in iTunes. So great, great week for iTunes movies, as well as Mumford & Sons' new album is out. Huge fan of them, and that is in iTunes. So this is a great week for media, and I'd encourage you to pick up something if you have some little extra entertainment funds this week. So that's that. And next up is just a comment from Phil Schiller. So he was emailed this question. I love my black and slate iPhone 5, but I've been seeing some scuffs and scratches and marks throughout the band around the phone along with many others. What should we all do? Any plans to fix this? Schiller. Any aluminum product may scratch or chip with use, exposing its natural silver color. That is normal. So this is not a defect, but something that is normal to the iPhone 5 and something that may encourage some users to actually get the white iPhone because the white iPhone doesn't have a black paint. So I'd be curious to me if the next iPhone 5S will have the black not as a paint, but perhaps as an integrated coloring dye type thing. I'm not sure what they'll be able to do, but I think that is a possibility that we could see happen, and I think a lot of customers may start to notice this, and Apple themselves may want to do something for the next iPhone. Now, on to related iPhone news is the Lightning connector, which I think is going to be a great connector. I've seen it in person. It's really tiny. I won't get to really use it until my Nano ships sometime late October, but there's some cool things going on here. So, developer Rainer Brockenhoff examined Lightning's technical features for what adaptability really means. It was touted that this adapter is adaptable. So, what does it mean? So, first off, the device watches for momentary shorts on all pins by the leading edge of the plug to detect insert / removal. So, when you're plugging in, it knows when that's happening and reacts appropriately. Next up, the pins on the plug are deactivated until after the plug is fully inserted, when a wake-up signal on one of the pin cues the chip inside the plug. So basically, it basically knows when everything's plugged in, and then it goes automatically. So really cool stuff there. The controller and driver chip tells the device what type it is, and for cases like the Lightning to USB cable, whether a charger that sends power or device that needs power is on the other end. So it's really smart, basically, about what devices and cables you're using and how to react to that, which is a really cool thing. And once everything is properly set up, the controller driver chipset gets digital signals from the SoC and converts them via serial parallel, ADC, DAC, and so on. It gets kind of technical. But basically, it can re-encode signals to some other formats that use fewer wires. And basically, it can even convert to optical signals for audio and other things. So there are some amazing things with this lighting adapter, and those are just a few of them. So I just thought that was pretty cool and wanted to share that with you. So next up is app news. And first up is a very exciting thing, a surprise for me actually, is the fact that PDF Pen for iPhone is now out. So it's now out at $5 launch price. PDF Pen for me with the iPhone app is now the ultimate PDF app for Apple users. It has iCloud support. So it'll iCloud sync between your iPad, your iPhone, and your Mac. You can edit, you can view, you can do tons with this app. It is the gold standard of PDF for Apple devices. The new app does support the iPhone 5, iCloud, and is at a great price of just $5 for its intro. I imagine it goes up to $7 to $10 after that. But a great app, and I've not used this, but I have the iPad app, and pretty much exactly the same functionality is there, except in the new smaller form factor. Next up is something, a bit of a controversy in the app world, and that is Sketch for a Mac. So the Mac app got a huge updated version 2.0. Now, the old Sketch was effectively a great menu bar app that was incredibly helpful for marking up screenshots and things like that. In the new Sketch 2.0, is very much resembles their new Evernote owners. Evernote bought Sketch a while back, and they finally revamped it to basically be a different version of Evernote. So Sketch now provides a very Evernote-like experience. You have to log into your Evernote account to use the app. The app will show you all of your screenshots from Evernote, so you don't have to store things locally anymore. Actually, you probably do, because Evernote doesn't do selective sync or anything like that. The app seems to have lost some functionality for me. You're able to capture full screen captures, camera, or open a file or start with a blank window. But for me, it really lost the ability to live in that menu bar. That menu bar life was great, because in the menu bar, I could go up the menu bar, say I want to take a screen grab of this, I can choose the area I want, and I could do it. Now that doesn't work. Thankfully, I'm really using Little Snapper for actually capturing screenshots, and I can continue to use Sketch to actually edit those. So it's not the worst of things, but it is a big change. If you're a Sketch user, I'd just be aware of the update. I think it's a great update, but at the same time, many users will react negatively to it. So that's Sketch. I believe it's version 2.0. In other news, we do have another big app update here from Adobe. Photoshop Elements 11 and Premiere Elements 11. According to Macworld, the company has announced version 11 of its Photoshop Elements and Premiere Elements desktop software for Mac and Windows. This photo and video editing duo, joined by a free helper called The Organizer, lets users manage, edit, create, and share photos and videos in a variety of ways. Both are shipping today. The big news with this is the streamlined interface. It's going to be a lot more friendlier to use. It's more consumer ready, basically, is what the impression is from the things I've seen, as well as the feature sets are greatly improved. So you're going to get some very powerful things. I don't want to go into all that here, as this show could be quite long, but it's a great update for both of these apps. I personally don't use Adobe apps, as I like things that are in the Mac App Store. I like things that are standard UI elements that Apple has adopted. Adobe seems to go their own way by using special keyboard shortcuts and doing non-standard things. So I use things like Pixelmator and other apps that are more Mac-like. So the software is available now from Adobe's website. It will soon be available at retail outlets like Amazon, B&H Photo, Best Buy, Costco, Newegg, Office Depot, and Staples. So as in the past, Photoshop Elements and Premiere Elements are available separately, $100 a piece, with an update price of $80 each, so $20 off if you're upgrading. Or if you buy them as a bundle, you get them both for $150, along with the shared organizer. So Bundle seems like a very good value there, $50 off. Upgrade pricing for the bundle is available at $120. So, okay, upgrade pricing, but great bundle pricing. And other news are just a wide variety of iOS updates that came out just yesterday. So first up is Google Voice. This app hasn't been updated in a long time. The update does some little tweaks. You're able to start a new text right from the inbox. Fallback option to call without Google Voice if a call fails. A bug fix for dialing from iPad and iPod Touch. And minor text-related bug fixes. The other update, iOS-related, DJ. At version 1.6 for iPhone, adds a number of new features, including iPhone 5 support, multi-route audio on iOS 6. That's a cool one, because you're able to output audio through the dock connector and headphone jack separately, and it has some really cool possibilities there. It also integrates the iTunes Store with in-app purchases and lots of other nifty new features. So this is a great app for DJs, and it's even better today. And finally, Instagram 3.1.0 adds iOS 6 and iPhone 5 compatibility. Now, this is big news because Instagram has been crashing for me on iOS 6, and now it hopefully won't. So that is a big thing here. And also to note is the iPhone 5 stuff is a bit weird because Instagram is a square, uses square photos. So there is some weird interface things they're doing there to accommodate that. They have improved password recovery, redesigned registration flow, and have other bug fixes and improvements. Meanwhile, as I'm recording this very show, a new version of Air Display is available, version 1.7. It adds support for iPhone 5 and iPod Touch 5th generation resolution. So that is something new going on with Air Display. The update notification literally popped up on my screen as I was doing the show today. So I just thought I'd mention that. In other news, in iOS news, is first up an Apple TV update. Finer Things in iOS, at Finer iOS on Twitter, basically says this. Apple TV 5.1 update added like ratings to lists of videos in the YouTube app. And also the note is the YouTube app is still in iOS 6 for the Apple TV. That was not pulled, so they still have that going on, and I'm glad that it's still there. Related to Google is Google Maps. And The Verge discovered that their contract with Google Maps had a year left, and Apple decided to pull the plug. So here's The Verge. Apple apparently felt that the older Google Maps-powered maps in iOS were falling behind Android, since they didn't have turn-by-turn navigation, which Google has shipped on Android phones for the past several years. The Wall Street Journal reported in June that Google also wanted more prominent branding and the ability to add features like latitude, and the executives at the search giant were unhappy with Apple's renewal terms. But the existing deal between the two companies was still valid and didn't have any additional requirements. So Apple basically decided to end that and go with turn-by-turn with their own system. So related to all of the map stuff is a update to the Garmin Street Pilot navigation app. They basically replaced the functionality you used to have with iOS 5's Maps app. First up is Urban Guidance. Considers public transportation options such as subway, trams, buses, water taxis when calculating pedestrian routes. You will be guided to a transit stop by foot, and you're able to look up detailed information on what line to take and where to get off. Urban Guidance is an in-app purchase for $5 on sale for $3 until October 7th. And the other big one is Google Street View. The update provides users a street-level view of their destination before starting a route and shortly before arriving. Users can also look at the full 360 view to get better understanding of their destination's surroundings. Features available in cities with Google Street View coverage. So that's that. Now, to close the show, I've got three more stories, and there's some cool ones here. First up is Lytro. That fancy high-tech camera that is kind of a prototype is coming to the retail stores. The cameras now support Windows. That came out in July. And according to TechHive, they've cut deals with Target, Best Buy, Amazon to sell their cameras online starting October 9th. And they also announced that Target will be selling the unit in November in its brick-and-mortar retail stores in Chicago, Los Angeles, San Fran, Seattle, and Westwood, a suburb of Los Angeles. So Lytro is coming to the retail market, and it's a cool product. I hope they continue to evolve this and make it better because it is a cool product, and I hope it continues to sell and improve. In Twitter news, at David Kahlo on Twitter, staff writer of 2AW noted that it's getting silly now. At Favstar, Twitter has suspended at Favstar. support. So at Favstar, the Favstar service is now being suspended because it doesn't play ball with the API changes. Twitter is going through a big change here, and something I'm not so sure how it'll turn out. Last up today is Nexus 7 Japan. Eric Schmidt had a big event in Japan where he launched the Nexus 7 there. The tablet is available now from the Play Store at 19,800 yen or whatever currency they use. It's about $254, an increase of $54 in the United States for a 16-gigabyte model. And Google Play Books has also launched in Japan with a fairly solid selection of local content. Schmidt was quick to express his enthusiasm for the Japanese market, saying that it has the third highest number of Google Play installs worldwide, and that 75% customers in Japan proportionally make more purchases on their devices than anywhere else. So that's that. The Verge also notes that October 2nd, the Nexus 7 will be available at major Japanese retail outlets, such as Big Camera, Yobodashibi Camera, and Joshin. And basically, they're going to Japan, and I'm sure they'll sell a lot of them there. So that is what's going on in the Apple world today. Thank you guys for watching and listening to today's show. And I'll be back for tomorrow for another edition of iWake. You can find the show notes at iWakePodcast.com. I also do videos over at YouTube.com/TCHATEN. And finally, if you'd like to have access to the script as well as bonus content, head on over to iWakePodcast.com/again. I do extra episodes every Saturday for those subscribers. It's a $10 a month show that basically lets you know, as a way to support this daily podcast that I put out for free for the majority of you. So iWakePodcast.com/again. There's also ways to donate on the website itself, iWakePodcast.com. Thank you guys for listening or watching. I'll be back tomorrow for another episode of iWake. Have a good one. Aloha.